This RFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Right, greetings everybody. You're listening to a program called Avant Gardening, which is coming from Wairarapa, New Zealand. Our presenters are Margaret Crawford, that's myself, Anna Marie.
Good morning.
And Marnie.
Morning.
We've been covering a whole lot of programs discussing the ways people approach gardening and different systems and the ways of producing food. Now, today we're going to be looking at plant protection and structures and glasshouses, tunnels, the whole works. Now, do you want to kick off, Marnie? Because you said you've done a bit more thinking. Well, we've all done a lot more thinking of it. But, Marnie, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, I was... When we decided that we would talk about this, I was having a little bit of a think about it and thinking about the sort of structures that people use in their gardening spaces and about why we would do that. And I think ultimately it comes down to environment and protection. So environment in terms of changing the environment that your plants are in. So you might want somewhere that's a bit warmer or a different humidity or a bit cooler perhaps or a bit shadier. You're changing the environment that your plants are in. And the protection part is about protection from pests and diseases and all those other things. And I think those are probably the two main reasons that you would grow something.
That's very distinct. I'm really impressed. Because I was my, and I'm sure Anna Marie's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
When I think of it, I just see pictures of your glass houses, yeah, which you made.
Yeah.
But yes, so it's to change the environment.
Yeah.
And shade houses, which I never kind of include in this, but I have seen people who use shade houses.
We have a shade house.
Yeah, they are important because they do change the environment quite radically. I've got a half built greenhouse at my place, which is quite big, and I've been slowly working on that over about the last year. One side of it is still open, but even though one side is still open, it still offers enough protection to keep the frosts off. We've had a hard frost last night. It was -1 when I walked out the door this morning. For anybody who's listening to this, we're currently in the middle of New Zealand winter. But everything that's in the greenhouse, even though it's only 3 sides and a roof at the moment, is untouched. There's no frost in
there. Yes, it breaks that. It makes a
big difference. Yes. And having that, being able to manipulate the environment, changes what you can grow and when you can grow it. So, for example, I have 2 mango trees.
I am impressed in New Zealand to have a mango tree.
Yep. Yeah, they're in my greenhouse and they're only young at the moment. They're in quite big pots, but they're doing beautifully in there with no additional heating, just keeping the worst of the wind and the rain and the frost off, and they're doing quite nicely.
Yeah. So the ones that are close in, I'm thinking of yours, Anna Marie. Yours is actually slightly underground.
It is. It is. We're using that. Well, first of all, where we live is extremely windy. We get gale force winds a lot because we're very close to a set of ranges, and anything that you would buy off trade tested or one of the little commercial greenhouses would just blow away.
They just end up in someone else's garden.
They end up in somebody else's property, yes.
Quick transfer.
We know this from previous experience. And so we dug down. I think the technical term for that is called a wallopini, where you dig underground and then you put like a cover over the top. We're not that subterranean. We're probably about 2 feet down in the ground. And then we also have it attached to a big closed-in shed as well. That's tin that gets a lot of heat in that. And then that heat comes through, you know, the tin wall back into the glasshouse at night. And at the back of our glasshouse, we have on the southern side, we have a big, what we call a heat wall, which is made out of beer bottles and concrete. So we lay the beer bottles down flat, then put layers of concrete on top, then put another layer of mortar all over the whole thing, and then we painted it black. Now, the idea with that is that the sun, as it heats up the glasshouse, also heats up that black wall. And then at night, it retains that heat because it's very thick. It would be almost 2 feet thick. Right. And it's got a lot of air in those beer bottles as well on the side. And then at night, all of that heat comes back into the glasshouse.
So it keeps it more or less an keeps it even much warmer, temperature, yes. Or just that it stops freezing?
It stops it from freezing, but it does keep it significantly warmer than a normal glass house that's exposed with glass all sides to the elements does, because we've got the west side and the north side are the ones that have got glass on them, and it's all just recycled windows. It works really, really well. We have to have a plastic roof because we're under pine trees.
Yes, I'm going to say yours is not totally glass.
No, it's not. It would be extremely dangerous if we had glass on the roof because when the pine cones fall, they come down like little mini hand grenades and would shatter. I did have glass ready to go.
Shattered tomatoes, you know.
Well, I think you'd end up with a shattered... When he sliced me, I think, is the thing that would happen.
I took a leaf out of Anna's book when I decided to build my greenhouse, because I had previously built a shed and I'd used the glass bottle thing for a floor.
I remember that. Was it for pigs or something?
Yeah, so originally, this is an old idea, people used to do it for pigsties to help keep the pigs warm. So you make your concrete floor, but you bury glass bottles in it and on the sides, and then put more concrete on top. The warmth of the day, the sun, just animals being in there, whatever it is, warms up the air inside the bottles and the concrete, and then that releases overnight when the temperature drops. Pigs hate being cold, so this just helps to keep their enclosure that little bit warmer. So same thing with Anna's greenhouse. When I decided to build mine, I decided to use the same technology. So I did mine with a wooden frame, because I'm in quite a high wind zone as well. Not as bad as Anna's, but still, it's fair rips across the end of the paddock there. And decided to use old windows to build the most of it, but then the rest of it, the knee high walls all around and the south facing wall, is all bottles encased in concrete.
Oh, okay, so you've built a heat system into the...
Yes. So with any luck, I won't have to put any form of heating in there, because by the time it's all fully enclosed with all these bottles, etc., it should be pretty much self-sustaining.
Well, that's the other thing, because a lot of modern ones have to have heating added, and that must cost.
Oh, it does.
You know, and very, both very of you are talking about passive energy in a sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's other things you can do. You can paint a water barrel black, and pop that in your glasshouse as well. And then because it's black, that sucks up any sunlight or heat that's actually in the glasshouse during the day. And then at night, that very slowly gives out heat. And then it just stops things, gets things above freezing. And
you know, I worked overseas for a while looking after elderly people. And this beautiful old home in Norfolk. It wasn't Norfolk. Anyway, they had a walled garden. And against the... must have been the south-facing wall, was a glass house, but it was built against the wall.
Yep.
So whenever you walked in, it was warm. Yes. It was never cold.
Yep.
And then the other thing, and then we've talked about it before, heating in old glass houses used to have troughs with plants in, but they put horse poo in.
Yes.
And the great poo, as we all keep talking about. I was talking to my brother yesterday who has horses. He said, he doesn't know what to do with the poo. I said, build a glass house. Build something with it.
Hot beds.
Yeah. So they were hot beds. Mm. And I think nowadays you can still do ordinary hot beds outside. Mm. You know, like a frame, what do they call those? A cold frame. But it's not cold. It's actually warm because you've got your enclosed horse poo.
Yes.
There are some examples in the UK of walled gardens where, because they're a little bit further north and because it's just that little bit colder, they actually built fireplaces and a flue system into the walls.
Yeah, to warm the bricks.
Yeah. So when you have your more tender fruit trees, which you espalier against those walls, so things like peaches, when you espalier them against those walls, when you fire up the little fireplaces and the warmth travels through the flues, through the bricks, it just helps to protect those.
I think that's brilliant.
Those trees. Really, it's just, the ingenuity is just stunning.
And you know, I keep thinking, not that we're going backwards, but some of those systems are very relevant now, because we worry about using up too much energy, you know, it's going to be costly, and yet that's a passive way of warming.
Yes.
It's a pretty capital intensive way of doing things. So, I mean, I think you have to remember that when a lot of these things were being done, you know, these big walled gardens were in general use, that labour costs were very, very low.
Yes.
And there was a lot of labour available.
Mm. And a lot of horses.
And a lot of horses. And lots of horse poo. Yeah. So the world has changed considerably since then. I think the idea of passive heating is still, as you say, extremely relevant because it helps to save on costs, but you have to balance that against the cost of building the thing in the first place.
Yes. Mm. But if you're starting from scratch, I mean, I think, Anna, you're the great recycler.
Yes.
I know your husband, I'm not going to use the big A word, drinks quite a lot.
Yes.
to get all those bottles, I'm teasing you. But, yes.
He took one for the team,
that's yes. right. But, I mean, I think that's part of our discussions here is always to say there are easier ways of doing it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think you need to look very carefully. Like our traditional glass house, when it's glass on all sides, you've got one side that is just all it's doing is leaking heat. Your southern side, you know, the cold side of your glass house, unless you have something there protecting it, you're just losing heat out of it.
Right.
Now, the other thing is sometimes you do want to lose heat out of your glass house. On a very hot day, you need to make sure that there is actually enough heat escaping. So ventilation in a glass house is very, very important.
Right.
You can't just steal it all up and expect your little plants to survive in 50-degree heat.
Prevents some diseases and stuff as well. If you've got something, a nice, warm, moist atmosphere, you're going to end up with some pretty mouldy plants.
Yeah,
quickly.
You will. So they reckon that the somewhere between, is it 30 and 50% ventilation? Is that right? Or is it 20 and 30, something like that? Is it 30 is quite a good, of your area, area.
The air must move through.
Your windows need to open.
Yes.
You need to have opening windows for about 30% of your...
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, that's of your walls, now, yeah.
And across the entire, it's no use having all that 30% at one end of your greenhouse.
It's not just the door open.
It's got to be.
But now... Yeah. I think it was in a previous program some time ago, we talked about you can get solar openers that will automatically open your windows.
Yeah, and a lot of kit greenhouses actually come with them as an optional extra.
Oh, right, okay.
And they're usually ventilation in the roof.
Yes.
So this little opener thing will sense the temperature and then do its little thing and open the vent. Now, this is really great for people who go out to work in the morning and aren't back until maybe 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
Yes.
Because if your greenhouse gets too hot during the day, then these little openers just pop open and ventilate your greenhouse.
Innovative things.
So cool.
They're amazing.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, if you think of it, you can have lots to drink and make a good floor or half a wall. This is all passive, so you're not running around having to heat all the time. Mm. And then you can have these opening windows because the sun does it. And also I've seen it with the fan, that these little fans put in with that are solar.
Yes, yeah.
So they will also add into the movement.
They're great because they help with the movement of air as well. It's not just about venting the temperature.
Yep.
So if you have some form of grate or something which allows air in, and then a fan at the other end which exhausts the air out.
Yes, drawing it through.
It just means that you have more control over that environment. So because you don't just want to be controlling the temperature, you need to be controlling the airflow, you need to be controlling the humidity. So there's quite a lot to think about when you're talking about a greenhouse or a glass house. It's not just as simple as chuck one up and put some plants in there because you are manipulating the environment, so that needs monitoring. You can actually buy a nifty little gadget which goes inside your greenhouse and you monitor it on your phone. Will tell you what the temperature is, what the humidity is, where the sun is, a whole bunch of other stuff. And I just love that my inner geek just loves that kind of thing, you know.
Wouldn't they just add to the panic?
I'm at work and I can't do it. Yeah, but then you'd have your solar openers.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So from a greenhouse or a glasshouse perspective, I think it's as with all other things, you need the right one for the position that you're in. So if you're on a very exposed site, as Anna said, perhaps a kit set glass or polycarbonate is often used for the panels these days. Perhaps that's not the way that you want to go because it'll get damaged by high winds. It's very exposed to the elements. Perhaps if you have a smaller garden, you can tuck one of those in the corner, then that would be ideal for you. That's exactly what you need. Anna mentioned before about a wallopini. Now, these are very popular a very traditional way of gardening, particularly in areas which get very, very cold, because you dig down 6 feet and you utilise the earth temperature to provide a warmer space. So you basically dig a hole and stick a roof over it. That's a wallapini at its simplest.
As long as your water table isn't too high.
I think that's what they do for swimming pools. You know, you sit down and then you fall. Certainly in the Wairarapa, I would imagine, when there's a high
wouldn't get away with that here. Yes, but it's
yours doesn't leak.
No, we're on a where we have our glass house. It is on a slight rise and it's on very, very free draining.
Okay.
It's on a terrace up above a creek, so it's extremely free draining. We never get any water gathering in there ever.
Yes. That when people build these things, sometimes they build the beds in. Mm. Other times they just use pots or shelving or whatever. So that doesn't seem to be a big controversial thing, isn't it?
I know people who do both. I know a guy not far from here who grows tomatoes. He has $4 plastic buckets that he gets from the warehouse. He put a few holes in the bottom and he just has them in a big line up the middle of his greenhouse, and he grows the most extraordinary tomatoes.
Yes.
They're huge, tasty, lovely, beautiful, beautiful things out of these plastic buckets.
Yeah. Yep. So that's a whole other way of farming, or not farming, producing food, is in pots.
Well, it's depending on how he's doing it. I mean, he's probably not using as much water as he would in an in-ground system either, because the water's just not going to drain away as well.
You've just got to keep up with the fertiliser.
Well, we talked about this is like with frames and so on, but I've seen one that's just been built with sheets of, like roofing sheets of, what do you call this stuff?
Oh, corrugated iron?
Novalite.
Novalite.
Oh, great.
Yes, and the other one I have seen an idea, but I actually have never seen it in reality, is plastic bottles on a stick. So you have to drink a lot of horrible, be very sugar orientated, drink all those sugar things, and then they pile them on top of each other and you make a wall out of them. But they're going horizontal. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how they do the roof. But this is probably how to use waste up.
That's a slightly different thing, I think. It's good to be able to incorporate using those resources.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more effort.
And there's a lot of drinking again.
There's a lot of drinking again, yeah. But it does take a lot more effort. So it's that thing again about the initial investment of time, money, energy, the resources that you have, versus go out and buy one.
But do you think a lot of people get disappointed with these? Because they're not very expensive, these ones you can buy online.
But they blow away, they are.
But they blow away.
Except there are things you can do to mitigate that. If you had a little one of the little trade tested ones, the little polycarbonate.
Yeah.
They've got the very, very light aluminium framing.
Yes.
So it doesn't take a lot of wind to blow those over or blow them in. So if it was me, what I'd do is I would plant it in the ground quite firmly, reinforce the corners, and then have that back wall and make it solid, put a big concrete wall.
Okay, so it's against something.
So it's against it. So I'd actually, perhaps on two sides, put in a big wall that actually held it there very, very firmly.
Yes. But putting it straight out in a windy area. I was watching some program the other day, and, they're giving people sustainability or something, housing, and they were putting them in an open field, and I thought,
going to last 10 minutes.
This is not going to last. It looked beautiful for the photographs.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll last very long.
You think a lot of those shows are like that, though. But like I said, it's got to be horses for courses. You've got to pick the right thing
and what
for the
afford.
Property that you're working with. And there's an affordability thing as well. So you don't actually need a greenhouse, a glass house. If you're growing on a smaller scale, something like a small cloche, I bought a couple of cloches off trade me a few years ago. They're a metal frame with sliding glass on either side. They're sort of triangular things. And for many years, I used those for starting seeds. So I pop one into one of my raised beds, pop all my seed trays with my seeds in underneath. And again, you've got to manage the temperature because you can fry your seedlings really easily. But, once you get the hang of it, it's just providing that additional warmth that the seeds need to germinate.
Right.
Yes. Once they've done that, then you're a little bit later on in the season, you can take the glass off and that's fine. So you don't actually need a greenhouse unless you're intending on growing something enormous.
Yes.
Or
a mango tree.
Or a mango tree, yes. Yeah. if you're planning on growing something like that, then yes, yeah, you're going to need something big. But people have done that. People used to have orangeries on some of the, yes, larger houses, yes, in the UK, because you can't grow citrus.
And then they move it in at winter and they
and then it's all there, yeah, in the orangery. And this is the same idea.
Yes.
So, but you don't need a greenhouse to do this if you're just starting off seedlings, or if you want to be able to start things off earlier in the season to get a bit of a head start. You can do it with something as simple as a cloche, as, yes, long as it's going to be able to retain that
heat, yes,
temperature.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But you do, like I said, you do have to be a bit careful to.
Well, I made a little one a few weeks ago using those. You get them like a U-frame. You get at a packet of them at yep, warehouse, one of those.
Yep.
Made a wooden frame all the way around, stuck them in, drilled holes so they were firm, and then bought plastic and just pinned,
yep,
it over and stapled it.
Yep.
And you can lift it.
Yep.
It's about the size of table.
Yeah.
I notice it does heat up quite a lot, so I've got, yeah, all the little seedlings in there.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, you can lift the corner and let the air in. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? Yeah. That's
you
the whole
really
thing.
If it's plastic, yes, you really need to watch the humidity.
It. Yeah, because it goes mad.
Because you'll get damp that runs through, and, yes, it'll take all of those seedlings out,
yeah,
in a day.
Yep.
Quite.
The other thing, I mean, also I made some years ago, was a cold frame, which was, yep, and just got an old window and made a wooden frame with a slant in it, and used the frame as a door or something. You can lift it up.
Mm.
So then in the daytime, you could lift it up, put a pole underneath,
yeah,
let some air through, and the seedlings. So we use it for seedlings.
Mm. Yes. It's about extending that growing time, isn't it? So you can start things off like a month or at least a couple of weeks earlier.
Yep.
Just to, and then at the end, you can
just get a head start. Yeah, the guy with the tomatoes, actually, he grows tomatoes inside his greenhouse, and he also grows them outside as well. So he starts them all off in the greenhouse.
Mm.
Soon as the weather is anything like reasonable, he'll plant some out outside, and he plants them inside in his buckets. The ones that he plants outside obviously have quite a limited season. The ones that he plants inside in the greenhouse, so he's still picking tomatoes weeks after
I've got tomatoes now in my glasshouse.
There you go. It extends the season. So if you don't want all your tomatoes within a 3-week period of the year, you'd actually like to have tomatoes a bit outside of that. Greenhouses and things like that.
So greenhouses are cucumbers, and I've seen grapes growing in it. That's another one.
Grapes,
anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Although our grapes go so wild, I don't think you can keep them contained at all. But yes, so there are certain plants that are really worthwhile growing under shelter like that.
Melons is a good one because melons need heat.
Yes. Yes.
And I have had success growing melons outside a couple of years, but the vast majority of years...
Well, the last two or three years has been terrible summers.
It's not hot enough.
No.
It's not hot enough for long enough.
Yes.
But if you can grow them in a greenhouse, then you can, again, you can manipulate that environment to make sure that you've got that...
You need
that temperature.
You've got to make sure the bees can get in, though. That's the thing.
Pollinate, yes.
That's right. Well, that's opening the door every now and again and
the
windows open. We've talked about, and our cloches means covering. It can be a glass blob or it could be a frame.
Could be plastic. Could be anything that allows you to retain the heat in a small area.
I've even seen terracotta, where it looks like a big ball, bell, and it's got a little hole in the top. And that goes over the plant to start it. And then as it gets warmer, because it's being heated all the time, they take it off.
Do they put that over at night or something?
I think
they use them for...
Not Whitloaf or something.
Yeah, forcing Whitloaf,
Yes.
Okay,
I haven't seen it here in New Zealand.
No.
I've seen it on TV, YouTube.
Okay.
That's our source of all information. So protection is... And then we're going to just spend 2-3 minutes on birds. Birds and other... pests that come to your...
So protection is a little bit different because you're using bird netting or you're using insect netting to keep critters off your plants. I really struggle to grow brassicas because I have so much cabbage white butterfly around where I live. But I can plant those brassicas as long as I put a net over the top to keep the butterflies out until it gets cold enough to kill them off. birds are the same with my tomatoes. I have to net my outside tomatoes because otherwise I get nothing.
Because just the other day, the birds had a feast.
Yeah, well, I think the birds all just sit on the gutter in there just waiting for the tomatoes just to start going ripe and then they're in.
Yeah. Mm.
So from a protection perspective, that's about making sure that you get some of what you've planted, some of your harvest.
And, I mean, Anna, you've mentioned that you're where the chickens are and you've got fruit trees, you've dug your wiring quite deep to stop those burrowing...
That's for the weasels and the stoats.
Oh, well, they were going for the animals.
They were going for the chickens. Yes, on my fruit trees in the chicken enclosure, I use little bags. I use those little organza bags with the little ties. They're fantastic. We've got big berry houses that we made out of recycled materials as well, and they keep the birds out. Yes. So we have opening at one. The front opens up. Which has got a big bird net over the top of that. Right. You just lift that up, and the rest of it is kind of either corrugated iron to keep the wind out, make it warmer, or we've got a mesh that's a solid wire mesh to stop the birds getting in, and we open up the front so that the bees can get in to pollinate the little berries, and then when the berries are ripening, we put the mesh
down. We've got a berry tunnel that's been here for years, and it definitely the birds have no little funnel in.
Yes,
because you can sit there watching and then suddenly there's a bird inside.
Yeah.
But to find the hole is quite difficult.
Yes.
So, yes, but it is protection. Netting,
that's right.
Covering at certain times.
Little organza bags. Yeah. They're fantastic, those organza bags.
Mm. Oh, I just couldn't be bothered. I just grow a lot of everything.
I've got hundreds and hundreds of them. I just knew around on the golf cart.
I just grow lots and lots of everything. Then there's enough for me on the birds.
Well, we've covered now, because we're coming to an end of this program, but we've covered glasshouses, cloches, protection from animals both and birds.
Oh, rabbits. Can I talk about rabbits?
Rabbits. 1 minute.
1 minute. Right. Okay, so if you put a tyre, if you have trouble with rabbits killing trees, snipping trees off or ring-bagging them, put a tyre over the top of it. Rabbits and hares won't cross a man-made thing. Put two tyres if you want to stop the rabbits.
Mm. Oh, fantastic.
Okay. Easy peasy.
We did it with our pumpkins last year.
Yeah, worked really well.
Thank you very much. We all go out now and start protecting. It's like the war in the garden. Thank you.
Cheers.